You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that will help enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan, and great to be with you today. Hey, if you haven't, I haven't said this in a while, I don't think. If you would please take just a few seconds, leave a review for us wherever you're listening to the show right now. Just kind of go over there, click the review, say something amazing and kind and thoughtful. It would really mean the world to me and the entire team who puts these on, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to line up guests week after week after week to make sure that we're helping you build better, smarter, more sustainable home service businesses. I'm going to introduce you to Ruth King. Since 1981, she has been a profit and wealth guru and has given contractors the tools and processes to get and stay profitable and build wealth. She's especially proud of two partners who have bought their businesses when it generated $750,000. And with her help, the businesses grew to over $10 million and sold for $9 million in cash. Ruth holds an MBA in finance from Georgia State and is a Georgia Class 2 HVAC contractor's license. It's inactive, but she has it. Her latest book, 101 Dumb Financial Mistakes Business Owners Make and How to Avoid Them, joins her five other award-winning books, The Courage to Be Profitable, Profit or Wealth, The Ugly Truth About Cash, and The Ugly Truth About Managing People. I cannot give enough things to say, you really need to stop and pay attention to this. And especially one of the things she says is the three places that you can look in your financial statements right now to look for instant profitability. Let's get going. Ruth, I have been looking forward to having you on the show for so long, and I'm so glad we could make it work. But for those who maybe don't yet know who you are, let's just maybe start there. Who are you, Ruth, and what do you do?
First, Ryan, thank you very much for having me. I've been looking forward to this too. It's just, I mean, I love talking about what I do, and it's probably the passion comes around. And, you know, I've been working with contractors since 1987. And I give them the tools and processes to get and stay profitable, build wealth, and hopefully give back. Now, obviously, you'll achieve the goals you want to achieve, but you know, part of the deal is giving back once you've got it and once you've made it. And I can tell you some stories of contractors who got the message, and it's been kind of fun from there. So, I mean, I work on the financial side of business more so, and everybody goes, that's the boring side of it. But once you get into it, and many of the contractors I work with actually look forward to getting their financial statements. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it really and truly is. And once you understand what they're telling you, it becomes a scorecard. And it's fun.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on, because I think to their defense, a lot of people in the trades got into their position because they're very, very good at their craft, right? Mm-hmm. They're good at plumbing, they're good at HVAC, they're good at landscaping or pest control, whatever their trade is. But there's a whole lot of like new skills that building a business, leading a business requires, such as like reading financials. And so there's a lot of, there's a big learning curve for people to go from like, okay, cool, I can sling a wrench, but now I need to understand finance. And I love how you talk about like even profitability and help them build wealth. But that's kind of one of the things that in your position, you've probably seen a lot of contractors made some really dumb financial mistakes. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. And the reason that I'm laughing is ignorance, because you know you're so good, and you're right. You're so good at your trade, and you think that's what's going to keep you in business, but it's not. The thing that keeps you in business is understanding the financial side. I mean, none of us started our businesses, including me, to do a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet. Duh, boring, whatever. However, understanding what they're saying and making sure they're accurate keeps you from making really bad decisions and keeps you probably making some very good financial and business decisions. And the way I look at it is this, you know, those of you who started out as HVAC contractors or, you know, electrical contractors or whatever, you know, first time you looked at a wiring diagram, you went, oh my gosh, what is this thing? Right. And you're like, but you learned it, because you had to learn it to do your job, you know, and it became easier and easier and easier. And I'm sure right now when you look at them, they go, oh, you know, it takes you 2 seconds to do it. It's the same with financials. You know, the first time you look at it, it looks like Greek or, you know, Russian or, you know, something like that. And then as you get into it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And then, you know, quite frankly, it actually does become fun because you're not doing the day-to-day, you're doing the oversight. And you can see, okay, did we make our goal? Yay, here's what I get to do as a result of making our goal. You know, that type of thing is really where it gets fun.
And that, I mean, 100%, I think everyone wants to be at that point, but I think so, how do I say this? I think so many people are so confused by even the nature of a P&L that, like that's, unless somebody has like specific training in learning how to read financial statements, they might not know how to do that. I think just the other day I spoke with the contractor who basically treats his business finances like a home checkbook, right? If there's money in the account, he can spend it. You're like, no. But there's a lot of people like them. And I don't want to like ostracize people like that because it's very, very common. What are some of the biggest roadblocks that you feel like people have when either understanding what financial statements mean and what they should do or why they're so important? Like what sort of roadblocks just do you feel like you face on a common basis?
Well, the first thing I actually face is that most contractors don't really realize how they generate revenue. And that sounds crazy, but you know, to think, okay, I sold a job or I did a service call or, you know, something along those lines. The way that contractors generate revenue is through billable hours. If you don't bill an hour, you don't generate revenue. I mean, it is that simple. And billable hours are perishable. We can't save them. You know, it's like an airplane seat. You know, when you take off on an airplane and there's an empty seat, they can't resell that seat. We're the same way. So if we don't maximize our billable hours every single day, then the likelihood is, number one, we're not going to be profitable. All right. Number two is if you don't maximize your billable hours profitably, i.e. price right, you can be really, really great with respect to billable hours. But if you're losing 50 cents for every billable hour, you're going down the drain.
Thinking about billable hours and capacity, because tucked in that is this idea of capacity, of this finite amount of things you can sell, right? And if it's a one person shop, that's just time for money. That's the end of the exchange. But as an operation grows, now all of a sudden it's not so much a time for money equation for the owner. Although one could argue some of that still plays in. Like I talked to an owner the other day who he was still like, what was he doing? He was like taking photos for Facebook. We're like,
why,
bro? Exactly. That was my point, right? He was like, well, I want to do it. I'm like, you're paying yourself 500 or it was like $425 an hour to shoot photos for Facebook. And you hire an intern for $15 an hour. Like, come on, think about this, but I digress. What other sort of like dumb financial mistakes do you feel like you see contractors make on the daily?
All right. The second major one is having a cash versus an accrual. And so their financial statements have to be on an accrual basis. And let me explain that. All right. Yeah. The guy who you were talking about earlier, who basically used his business checking account, I got money, I can spend it. Well, that's basically cash basis accounting. And with cash basis accounting, you don't have receivables, you don't have payables, and an invoice is an invoice when you pay the bill. When you get money in the door from a customer is when it actually counts as revenue. So you're in a situation where the only way that you can truly tell what's going on is to do your financial statements on an accrual basis. And if you're on QuickBooks, it is one button. You just hit accrual instead of cash. And this is what it does. It allows you to know, okay, I sent an invoice to a customer. It's now a receivable. When do I get paid? All right. And you can match bills coming in the door from your suppliers, because even though you don't pay them, you're actually looking at them on your financial statements, and you can match revenue and expense. So you don't have what I call financial statement fruit salad with revenue in a month, expenses in another month, you try and job cost them, you know, let's say January is the revenue month and it's apple month, and February is the expense month and it's peach month. So you put them together, you got fruit salad, rather than revenues matching expenses, which is the only way you can do that on accrual. Because think about it, and on a cash basis, you're not going to pay a bill knowingly if you don't have cash in the door, right?
Right.
You know, so you're almost always going to be profitable, whether you truly are or not. Because
I think people get confused even with, like, when you describe it that way, it seems like it makes sense. It just keeps it more clean. But I think there's a complication when people think about cash method or cash basis versus like accrual basis, because they don't necessarily understand the impact that that has, right? Because, and to one point, would you say that the benefit of being gap method or accrual method would be advantageous to companies over a certain revenue threshold? Like if somebody's making 150K a year, does it still make sense for them to do gap? Oh, interesting. Is your argument there just to tidy up and associate revenue and expenses in a given period with a given customer base?
Yeah, you have no idea whether you're profitable or not if you're on a cash basis. None, zero, nada. You just don't. You have no idea. Your revenues are in one month, your expenses are in another, and you're not matching them. The only way you can tell whether you're profitable is if you're matching revenue and expense, period. And you can be...
Is that something that somebody can do? Like, so I feel like this is another weird one. I feel like contractors, they don't like the idea of hiring a CPA. Like they're like, I'm just going to have my wife or my sister-in-law or whoever else like input the stuff in QuickBooks. And I hear that a lot and it's maddening. Do you feel like for them to do this financial literacy well, that they can do it on their own, that they can self-implement without having someone who has like some sort of training and certifications in some accounting practice?
Well, last summer I got pissed because I was answering the same bookkeeping question all the time, over and over. So I wrote a bookkeeping manual for contractors, for the wives and the kids and anybody who doesn't have a bookkeeping degree. So it's 18 modules. Go take it. You'll understand what P&L and balance sheet and debits and credits is all about. I was so mad that I did it. I just wrote it. I was answering the same questions over and over and over again. And it was like, okay, somebody's telling you, you should be writing this down and putting this in a manual. And so I did. And it is literally meant for the wives. Now, I've worked with contractors for a lot of years. And after a while, they get it. But this speeds up getting it. I know some wives who have no accounting degree, no bookkeeping knowledge, you know, formal, but they've done it for so long and they've asked the right questions and they've made the mistakes and I showed them how to do it. They are really now great bookkeepers. So you can learn it. You do not have to go to school and you don't need a CPA. In fact, I suggest that most contractors don't use a CPA to do their books and use their CPAs to do their taxes and oversight. Because if a CPA does your books and you need an audit, they can't do it. It's better that they know you from the, you know, potentially an audit perspective rather than, you know, doing your books. I mean, most people don't think about that, but let's assume you're a banker, you're going for a line of credit or something like that, and it's large enough that they require audited books. Well, guess what? Your CPA, who you've known for years and years and years and years and years, can't do it because it's conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's interesting when you get into all those either ethical or legal restrictions that are in place for your benefit, right? But a lot of people don't think about those nuances.
Yeah, I'd much rather have a CPA who knows me really well, who does oversight, who does my taxes every year, and the bank says, I want an audit. And they can do the audit because they know you, and it's less expensive than somebody who doesn't know you from a hole in the wall having to start at ground zero.
Do you feel like that there's sometimes some contractors who are apprehensive about sharing access to financial data for fear of privacy or security or just kind of lack of comfortability with having somebody else see where money's going?
Nah, not from a CPA perspective.
Okay.
is they're doing their taxes. Now, would they share it with their employees? That's a different story.
Yeah,
a lot of them are just like, I don't want them to see how much I make, which is fine.
Yeah, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about taxes. I have the misfortune of knowing a couple contractors who have found themselves in very big tax jeopardy, either for state taxes or for federal taxes. What sort of headaches do you see that are common for contractors as far as tax burden goes? Do you feel like that there's a certain sort of pitfalls that they always fall into, that there's certain sort of things like, guys, stop doing this, that they should keep mindful of? Like, what sort of headaches do you see with the tax structure and how it affects contractors?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm not a CPA and I don't do taxes. All right.
There it is.
But I will tell you that you have to pay your payroll taxes. If you don't pay your payroll taxes, you are going to be in such trouble. If you think you're not going to get found out, guess what? Everything is electronic these days. They're using AI to be able to find people who are not doing their taxes, you know, paying their taxes. So you are getting it. Now, I will also caution you, because let's go back to the book thing, all right? If your wife is doing your books, do not get a divorce, okay? I had a situation, husband and wife run the business together. Wife does the books. For whatever reason, he never gave her check signing authority. He wanted to sign all the checks, okay? So they go through this really nasty divorce, and she decides to get him and doesn't pay payroll taxes for a year. And the IRS came in and they went after him because she didn't have check signing authority. So she had no authority to pay the taxes. She got him.
Oh, gosh. That sounds awful.
Creative.
Yeah, that sounds like an especially ugly sort of separation. And look, anytime you're in a business with a spouse or family of any type, it can get messy to begin with. Do you have many contractors you work with who like use like methodologies like profit first? And if so, like, do you have an opinion, or are you familiar with the idea of profit first? One, and if so, like, do you have an opinion on if it's a good platform, a good product, anything along those lines, or is this like, I don't know what you're talking about?
No, I know profit first pretty well. The only issue I have with profit first is they say put 10% away. Well, if you're making 8 and you put 10% away, you have a problem. So my thing first is make sure you're profitable, make sure you're earning at least 10%, if not more, then you can put your 10% away. I don't have a problem with putting money away. I always recommend contractors put money away. Mine is more like 1-2% based on just what's going on. And then if they're doing maintenance, all of their maintenance money gets put away. And I totally agree with him about putting money away. I totally agree with it, because I can't tell you how many contractors called me that I work with during COVID or when it started and said, I don't care. I have enough money put away in the bank. I can last for a year. It does not matter what happens. And they slept better at night. That was before PPP loans came in or we knew what was going on. So Michael's right. Put money away, but just make sure that if you're not making 10%, either start making 10%, you know, and then put it away, or put less away until you make that much. I mean, the profitability has to come first before you put money away.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're even saying there sounds so obvious, because that's this title of the book. It's like profit first. So if your profit is not already established first, if your pricing is not right, it's going to be much more difficult to implement. How are there certain aspects, like going back to the idea of like financials, and the thing about profit first, which makes it handy for those who aren't familiar, is it kind of advocates for this idea of like you set aside money into different predetermined buckets so that you know that when you have payroll, you have a payroll bucket that's already got the cash you need. You have a tax bucket that already has the tax or the money you need to cover your tax burden. Because some people just, they see the money in their account and they just want to like take out whatever to go buy a boat or whatever silliness, right?
Don't laugh. I had that happen.
I know a couple of guys who have done that, and it's really crazy. And then IRS quarterlies come around, then it's like they don't have the funds. Are there any, so when thinking about like a financial statements, and I know that's a big part of what you like to coach and teach people how to understand and read and gain literacy on, are there a few categories or even like KPIs within those categories where you coach people like, hey, if you're having issues, look A, B, and C, look at these places first. And what is it that you look for when you're trying to look for like short-term wins on helping them maximize profitability?
All right, let me go back to your cash thing first, can I?
Yeah. I have yes, please.
All right, so here's what you do is you take your biggest overhead month plus payroll for that month. I mean, all of payroll, all your payroll taxes, paying you, paying employees, paying everybody, paying commissions, if you're paying commissions, add the two together and multiply by three. That is the absolute minimum that you need in a savings account at all times. All right. If you're totally risk averse, like some of my clients are, you multiply by six. Or make sure
and so you. So the have- three to six, are you just basically talking about a burn rate? You're saying a 6 month reserve, a 3 month reserve. Is that where you're getting those multipliers? Yeah.
Here's where I look more than anything else. Number one, I want to make sure that their gross margins are consistent from month to month. So if 1 month your gross margin is 40%, the next month it's 22, and the next month it's 67, we know we have financial statement fruit salad and you're probably on a cash basis. If you're on an accrual basis accounting and you have that, somebody's not pricing or somebody's not putting in the data. So you want to have consistent gross margins. And gross margin is simply gross profit divided by sales. All right, so you want that consistent every single month. The next ratio you want to really look at is what I call the compensation ratio or the productivity ratio. And that's for every dollar in sales, how much you're spending on payroll and payroll taxes. Forget everything else. I just want to know based on payroll and payroll taxes. So if your compensation percentage is 63%, that means 63 cents out of every dollar you bring in the door, you're spending on payroll and payroll taxes, which is a lot. You want it under 30%. All right. In slower months, you know, for seasonal businesses, I mean, plumbing is not that seasonal. Lawn care is very seasonal. You know, it can be higher in those months, but it better be a whole lot lower in the months that you're really busy so that it averages out about 30%. So those would be the first two places I would look. The third place is I would look at their billable hours for the month and divide it by the net profit for the month, and see what their net profit per hour is for the month. And if it's under what you can make at a fast food restaurant, we got a problem.
Some of those fast food restaurants have tempting hiring wages at this point, though.
That's my point.
It's clear that you have so much expertise, so much passion, and I'm absolutely going to make sure that your website and any of the resources you provide are listed in the show notes for people who want to learn more. But if there's like two or three things of advice or encouragement you would have for people today listening, what might those things be? Or is it like, hey, look at those three categories, look at those three KPIs and make the appropriate adjustments. Is there anything else you would say to encourage people to help make a step towards building wealth and building in profitability?
Number one, invest 15 minutes a week. I mean, we all waste 15 minutes a week. I guarantee you we all waste 15 minutes a week. Just take that and start learning a little bit about the financial statement side of business. I mean, there's tons of books out there. There's my books out there. I'm not the only one who has books on really understanding what P&Ls and balance sheets really look like. That's number one. Just start getting into it. Start asking the questions. Start, you know, questioning what looks like on your P&Ls and balance sheets, and you'll get better and better and better at it as you get, you know, do it more often. The second thing I would suggest that everybody do is to look at your bank statements online every single day. All right, it takes 5 minutes to do this. Doesn't take a lot of time, and here's why. You never know when somebody is going to try and steal from you. One of my clients got this, you know, you get 2 cents and a 22 cents or, you know, whatever else it is, less than a dollar when you're setting up new accounts. Well, one of my clients got this and, you know, the bookkeeper said that the owner just setting up a new account and forgot to tell me. Well, next day they try to take two $25,000 payments out of their account. The bank caught it. But the reality is had they seen it, they could have called the bank and said, okay, close the account before the bank called them. Right. So anything that's weird, anything that doesn't look right. And I had one where they signed a check to the auto place for $49 or whatever it was, and it came back $449. I mean, you know, it wasn't their employee stealing, it was the vendor's employee stealing. You know, and so you just, by looking at your checking account online every single day, you know what you've signed, you know what goes out, because you're, you know, 6 weeks later, 2 months later, you're not going to remember. But every single day, if you go and do that, it takes you 5 minutes to just make sure everything's okay. Those would be the two.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. And I think there's like, the scary part of what you're saying is like, hey, that there's malicious intent, that there's people trying to cause harm and steal. Some of these issues can be clerical. It could be someone not knowing how to use a 10 key and missing a decimal or having crappy handwriting. And it might take time for a bank's audit process to determine like, oh, we miscredited or misdebited your account. I like what you're saying though. Double check it, see it every day, see what transactions are floating through, because you'll probably be able to catch a weird outlier faster than any sort of other process would be. I think that's really, really good. Ruth, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and learn more about what you do, how might they do that?
Just go to ruthking.info. That's the best place to find me. Everything's there. All the links to the books, all the links to all the different channels and everything else that I do is all basically in there. It's just ruthking.info. It's the best place to get me.
Awesome. We'll make sure that that info is in the show notes. Ruth, thank you for doing such really amazing work and helping contractors like learn the skills they need to be profitable, to build wealth for themselves and their families. It was an honor having you on. Everyone, if you're listening, ruthking.info, please take there and I'll make sure the show notes there for you. So Ruth, awesome having you on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much too.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of Levergy, the digital marketing solution for serious home service companies. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another awesome episode. See you soon.